Jackson and Mark Ryder about the budget, and then we'll go into some questions from some of the legislators here. And I just want to make a note and make it clear that this is not going to be a 2 or 3 hour marathon. We're going to get to the point and we're going to get out of here. All right, so Tom, if you'd like to start off.
Sure, I mean, this is informal, and I'm just going to give you a brief thumbnail of it. Don can fill in some of the more details.
And Don,
I'm sorry.
Yes. Don, I forgot to introduce you.
So, the 2019 operating budget for DPW is $30
million,
which is a slightly less than 1% increase over 2018.
Okay.
So I would say the budget is pretty flat. Having said that, we are very comfortable at DPW at this point that we'll be able to provide operationally all of the services expected of us within that budget, as we appear to be doing this year. Knock on wood, this is glass. But we're not done with 18, but we feel we're on target with our budget. And we feel that the 2019 budget will also be good for us. We're currently a workforce of 189. Organizationally, some things change in 2018. We now have Don as our finance, a deputy commissioner for finance. We have Bob Usser as deputy commissioner for buildings and grounds maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Suits for deputy commissioner of buildings and grounds capitals.
Okay.
Right. So with Brian Cunningham gone, we broke up those two functions. Okay.
Okay.
And then we have Kim Millian is a deputy for Central
Thank
Auto.
You. Okay.
And Joe Whitaker, who is not officially off the books yet, and replaced. He is the Highways and Bridges Field Operations Coordinator. So that's how the divisions are now.
And you go back, how many employees right now? You
189.
Said? So that's
in all the divisions.
In all the divisions, Highway, Bridges, Capital Projects, 189. That falls under your budget.
That falls under this budget, yes. 189.
So what are some of the highlights?
Some of the highlights? Well, it's pretty, you know, it really is in line with the 2018 budget. I wouldn't say there are any highlights. Don might be able to tell you some specifics, but I mean, there aren't any highlights that I can tell you that are either drastic increases or drastic decreases in the budget.
When it comes to the operations budget,
right?
There's things that we can highlight in the capital program, which is, I think, what we're going to get to next. But operational-wise, which is, you know, maintenance of the buildings and paying the staff, etc.
Sure, but DPW and the entirety of Public Works is what performs the capital program. So ergo, that's the highlight. So why don't you guys...
Right, so why don't we get into the capital program?
We can do that. Let me just add one thing, though, on the operational. We're trying to focus more attention on looking at evaluating preventive maintenance on roads and bridges.
Right.
Okay. And we think that that needs more attention, but we think we're going to be fine within the budget to do that, yeah. So the capital budget, we are looking at a total capital budget of DPW projects of $37.8 million in 2019 capital dollars. Okay. Some of these projects are being carried over from 2018, a little bit remaining in family court, you know, some remaining in restorative justice. There are, I think, three bridges here. There's a little remaining in the Frost Valley Big Term because we'll be winding that down. That's being wrapped up now. So some of these projects are being wound down, so they're still listed here. A big ticket item, $11.2 million, is the Ashokan Rail Trail, which is 11.6 miles, as you know.
Right.
That construction is ongoing, and we have, you know, quite a bit of 2019 dollars attributable to that. Fire Training Center is in 2019 dollars, $3.1 million.
That work will start for the Fire Training Center in the spring, or you think sometime this winter?
Yes, in the spring.
In the spring, okay.
The Ulster site, the Ulster Land and Road site.
Okay.
Right. That's in planning phases now.
We hope to be complete on that by, I think, the spring of 2020 would be our goal. It's about a 12-month, 18-month construction once we begin, but we'll be going out to bid over the winter.
It's about an 18-month construction period?
12 to 18 months.
12 on the Ulster site?
On the Ulster site.
Okay.
What's the total budget for that?
For which one you got there?
Training Center.
Fire Training Center, total budget. Well, this is going to be total budget is over here.
This is all three areas you're going to give
this? This will be all three areas. Where's the
budget? Right here. But that's everything.
In 19 is 3.134. Overall is 4.55.
Make sure I got that right. It was 3.314?
3.134.
I transposed those. Okay, got it. And then what was the total again?
4.551.
Got it.
Okay.
As Tom said, so in 19 for the Ashokan Rail Trail, it's about 11.2. So when you take that piece out, you're about down to previous year's typical capital program cost per year.
Now, out of the 11.2, and actually I apologize, Mr. Chairman, I didn't want to go and start in on questions if you don't mind.
That's what we're here for. Go right ahead.
I didn't want to go and hijack the meeting.
You go right ahead.
So does that also include the bridge?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you sure?
Which bridge? The trestle, the Boys Trail trestle.
Because it's the trail itself is. I have to look again, but I think.
Yeah, we have a stream crossing, which is a culvert.
But I think the Boys Trail trestle is included in that.
Over to Sopus Creek.
I don't think that's right.
It was almost $5 million.
It was almost $5 million. I think this is without that trestle.
Well, Chris isn't here. He's planning.
75.
Project includes construction of two new bridges at the site of the failed Buttermint Cove culvert and destroyed Boys Field trestle.
Wow.
All right, so that's the 14.9.
Yeah, that's the 14.9. You agreed to only in the 7 to 8 range with trail construction.
Okay.
So you add the 4.5 to that, and it brings you up to the.
So the 11.2 is with the.
And the 11.2 is not. I mean, so we're working now. We have 3.7 in the 18, and before. So the overall is 14.9.
Right. And it breaks it down
a
little
total budget,
right?
Complete period.
Complete.
Yeah,
everything.
Okay. I'm saying so, but of that 14, 11.2 is in 2019.
Yes.
I was thinking of the total budget.
Right, sorry.
Thank
just
you.
29.
And $5 million.
$5 million for the bridge.
Yep.
Now, remind me again, what's the revenue, I guess, that we're getting from DEP for that? you happen to FEMA?
Yeah.
For the Boy Scouts?
From DEP or from FEMA?
I'm sorry, it might be, well, actually,
FEMA.
Actually, I thought actually might be both. For some reason, I thought Chris had said FEMA.
We do have
both. But FEMA, DEP money for the trailheads, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
FEMA covers about half the bridge, FEMA. Which was, I think, 2.4.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll make sure.
Yeah.
2.4 million, and I think the overall bridge came in at.
Because I'm assuming that we're recording this, right?
No. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, we are.
The chairman had said no recording, but...
No, I didn't say that.
No, no minutes.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is different. DEP funding is 2.5 on top of the FEMA funding, which is 2.4.
So Legislator Green had asked that we ask about anything special in the budget that would be directed towards... sustainability, reduction in our carbon footprint. It seemed to me that there might be some of that in the Ashokan Reservoir Rail Trail project. But is there anything else that you feel particularly falls in that category, or that
in
we should
capital
be
capital or the
either what either
the boilers?
Mm-hmm.
The HVAC weatherization.
It's $1 million.
Right.
At the university? At the...
No, this one's on county side.
Yeah.
This county building?
At the jail?
This is at the county. This is not... this is various.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're talking about the boilers in the HVAC weatherization program. There's money for the county building's boilers. And then the UCLIC energy program, there's money for the UCLIC boilers.
Mm-hmm.
And both are being looked at through a FlexTech study.
Right. We funded that this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Have we thought about doing solar hot water over at the law enforcement center?
I'm not sure what'll come out of the FlexTech study.
I mean, we've proposed this in the past, actually dating back to 2006, so it's
right.
sort of a white whale, but you know, it's sort of a thing where I think in this day and age now we're the numbers are beginning to at least move in the right direction where it may make more sense, so that's why I figured I'd bring it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How do we ensure that we're actually going to be looking at that? Mark Ryder's going to write it down?
I'm going to write it down. We'll talk to Amanda and work with the Department of the Environment and Public Works.
Mm-hmm.
We did just do an RFP for solar carports, so you know, I think the proposals are being evaluated by a committee yet. I don't know what came in, but I know that they just came back last week. And so I think they were looking at various parking lots. I don't know if you've seen the solar carports,
yeah.
But they provide a lot of advantages. They provide shade to the cars in the summertime. They're also easier to plow in certain areas,
right.
Because they block the,
right.
The snow from coming down. So...
could be cost effective and save carbon.
Right.
Great.
Other areas where we're looking at energy efficiency.
Well, there's the pervious pavement. I don't know if it's energy efficient.
Oh, she likes that. She,
yeah.
She's interested
where
in that.
Where we have it programmed to do pervious pavement somewhere?
Is that at the BRC?
Yeah.
So how much more expensive is pervious pavement versus impervious pavement on average? You can give me a round number too. I'm not going to hold you to the decimal point.
I wouldn't be able to even guess.
It's about 30%.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
50%. Because you have to treat the base.
Okay, so it's about 30%.
About 30% increase.
Okay. I mean, have we considered, given our...
Well, before you go the next step, it's an increased cost up front, and there also may be decreases in longevity to the surfaces.
Kathy, if I may.
I was trying to answer your prior question. Thank you.
Okay, let's
go one
at a time here.
I asked about the cost, Kathy. My next question was merely a matter of just with our relative bonding capacity, have we ever considered about even like upping up the percentage of roads that are... that could be sort of, you know, categorized for this, right? I'm not talking about the county.
Talking about roads now?
Well,
parking lots?
Roads, parking lots. I mean, like, admittedly, the sheer volume of county highway, I understand. No, I'm saying, some of them are get more punishment than others. Let's
right.
just sort of be candid that there are some that are also some of them are probably more in more critical environmental areas, right?
Right?
You know, so it's not as if I understand not all roads are nearly the same,
right?
Right. But you know, from an analysis from a policy standpoint, you know, if we want to kind of begin to start to look at that, I mean, is that something that
from an engineering viewpoint? We spend a lot of dollars on preventive maintenance on roads to make them impervious to water because water is the most damaging
right.
mm-hmm. element on road surfaces. So we would not at this point with current current materials we would never.
It's not a good application for
not
highway usage. It's great for parking lots.
Yeah,
but it doesn't work well for highway use.
But we could be looking at again situationally. There may be certain you know roads that are you know again that are closer to the you know to the Ashokan. You know maybe that's part of or maybe it's parking lot. Maybe from this point forward, all of our parking lots are going to be pervious surfaces. So
we looked at UCAT at one point and it didn't make sense because it would have actually disrupted the ground flow. Like Amanda would tell you
sure.
that
depends
that
on topography.
It
sure.
depends on topography.
That's why I said not everything is. I'm fully aware that everything is not the.
So where it makes sense, we are looking at it right now, where the drainage and everything that under you know lays the pervious pavement makes sense to add it. We are doing cost benefit analysis.
Okay, but then how do we? Because I mean, this is something that I know there are legislators who want to kind of begin to push in this direction.
Right.
So
I know. Just put your hand up, and I'll cut him off, and then he can talk.
Yeah, right. You can just cut me off at any point. You don't have to whisper over there.
No, I'm saying she wants to talk.
Like, I'll shut up.
Kathy, you have something?
No, I think it was covered.
Anybody else have anything want to bring up?
So,
go ahead, Kathy. Do you have something?
No.
Okay. So if we could, on page 51, I just had a couple of quick questions. And that was, and this is for buildings and grounds administration. And this is just questions. I'm just asking. It looks like, for example, like on overtime pay, you know, 2016 actual, we're at 48,000, 2017, we're at 78. 2018 budget, clearly then at that point reflects some of that increase, right? Bert and everybody else in between who was involved with it, went and bumped up a little bit. It then looks like we were at 75 in the amended budget, and now we're at 62.5. So really, I guess at a certain point, I could guess as to why that's happening, but why don't you just tell me?
No, it's just various projects that come out throughout the year. Sometimes we have to carpet floors at night to not disrupt people during the daytime. My example of that was the DSS building recently. I'm sure you guys can give me more examples than I can think of off the top of my head.
But that's
generally what we're talking
right,
about.
Right.
Do you know where we are with the 2018 actual? By any chance?
Not off the top of my head,
okay.
But I know we've moved money into the line a couple times this year.
On top of the 75 is what you're saying, right?
I want to say we're around that, maybe 10,000 more.
Okay, 85.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying that, you know, number one, you know, part of that becomes, you know, yes, maybe we're doing more projects. If so, then how many more projects are we doing or that we did in 2018, 2017, and 20, you know, backing into 2016? Kind of show, okay, well, you know, how are we, because then maybe part of the issue becomes maybe we should be adding, as opposed to having this sort of increase in overtime, should we just be adding a position budgetarily to go and cut out some of that overtime pay, right? This is a pretty common sense and pretty simple thing. I know you guys probably go through this, I'm just saying, but if we're noticing that uptick and we're seeing more capital programs, especially because some of this stuff was maybe being curtailed in the transportation end of things by the TIP that we're sort of moving somewhat away from in certain cases. Now all of a sudden you've now got more projects that you know you're not holding off anymore and you're just doing them, and now it's leading to this increase in overtime pay. So I'm just sort of bringing it up generically because I noticed how much more it's gone up since 2016.
Right,
so
but
we're doing more projects,
most of the dollars are in
doing things outside of regular work hours. So you can't hire one person and make up for a crew spending a lot of hours putting carpet down at BSS. That takes a whole crew.
Right. I'm not trying to go and say, I mean, yes, that's one situation. I'm just saying, if you want to break out where all the overtime comes from, I'll be glad to see it.
So one thing to remember too is that on this page that you're looking at, you're looking at buildings and grounds.
Sure.
As opposed to highways and bridges. Right?
Sure.
So
sure.
One of the things that may have caused the overtime to be higher this year is that we went out to bid on the Restorative Justice Center, and we decided it was a lot more cost effective, and we saved considerable amount of money doing the plumbing in-house. And so I don't know if some of that, but that is, I think, a decent amount of the overtime.
Yeah.
That is not going to be, we're not going to see that next year.
But we also know that there are many things within the capital program. I'm saying as we begin to sort of move forward, you know full well, look, we just finished a family court, right? So meaning, yes, there have been a lot of buildings and grounds. I'm not saying highways and bridges, I'm just saying, but there's things in the capital program, clearly.
Right.
Things that we are sort of completing and moving forward with. And if you're saying to me now, we anticipate no further renovations or new constructions, if that's what you're telling me, Mark, I don't think that's what you're telling me though, Mark.
No.
But what I'm
saying is we're comfortable with where the overtime pay, I believe, is.
Absolutely.
Because it just seems to be increasing and by large numbers. So therefore I'm saying at a certain point you're hitting a tipping point.
Right.
Of where you should be adding in new positions as opposed to paying overtime. So
gotcha.
And I guess the other one, and it's not a big issue, but just again, we get into like things like supplies, right? Your supplies in 2016 are at 62, they go to right now at 110.5, right? So I guess I'm just curious as to, and again, if you want to break out the supplies, I'd be more than happy to look at that as well. But I'm just curious as to what's going on, what's driving that over the past, three or four years now.
Yeah. I don't know if I have that exact number for you off the top of my head. I'd apologize, but...
You should apologize. That was a joke. People not know that Don used to work for us. Okay.
Something you can get back to the committee on.
Yeah, that's fine.
Building maintenance was the biggest hit from 17 to 18. It was roughly a $30,000 increase, so it's not necessarily something that's going to be an annual... increase.
Right. I mean, but are we planning as we go, kind of go forward that we're going to be at that level for the foreseeable future, or are we just going through a bump right now because we're sort of getting to the various deferred maintenance that we held off for years?
I would say it's probably more of a bump because we built in.
So it's more of a bell curve
system. Yeah.
Okay. So you're envisioning more of a bell curve that it's basically gone up in 17, 18, 19, and that we may start to see a decrease in say 2020, 2021 going forward.
I'd say that's fair, but I can't tell you for sure.
Well, but
until the heaters kick on in the winter.
Sure, but if we can maybe sort of begin to really sort of firm that up, that would be helpful. Because at least if we know that if the trend is that it's doing this, then it's sort of like, okay, well then what's going on? How much maintenance are we actually deferring on all the various buildings? So,
I mean, I know some of the, and some of it's that the maintenance portion is the maintenance portion. Some of the is that us doing capital projects in-house, like the Poorhouse Memorial, knowing that next year we... Although I think just design for the veteran cemetery upgrades, that is another one that we may do some in-house work on,
absolutely,
and we'll need to, purchase supplies for.
Sure. But I'm saying, when I see that, it's just immediately like there's a jump here. Now it could be a thing where we had held off on fixing certain things for a while, and now we're just sort of just getting around to getting through this stuff. That's fine, but I just want to just know where that's coming from. All right. Just for my own edification, just because I don't think I know what it is on page 50 on the revenues, your 3100 non-property tax items. What does that mean?
Is that the auction?
Well, no, the auction should be in Bert's budget. That should be
the equipment auction. Which used to actually be in the purchasing budget.
Got shifted over.
Then got shifted over to the departments that actually.
Let me see what Bert says. Let me see what Dodd says.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think you're right. I'm sorry. I don't know exactly off the top of my head again. But I would.
That's the numbers that we've gotten in the last few years off those the multiple budget or the multiple options that we've done each of those years.
What kind of equipment is this? Is it our old
heavy equipment? It's all cars.
Mm-hmm.
Any surplus equipment.
Okay, but we seem to be doing annually something like $1 million sort of out the door. I guess my question, which okay, fine, I'm saying, but then what's on the replacement side, meaning how many vehicles are we actually replacing year after year?
That's programmed out.
You have that in the capital program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's the first item, I think.
Didn't we replace all the copiers in all of the
it's Central Auto Video?
That's
recently?
A lease.
1.3.
Yeah,
it's 1.3.
But on a lease, not in, yeah. It wouldn't show up in this 1.3, item.
1.3, what are you saying? It was 1.3?
The Central Auto Vehicle Replacement Program.
Yeah, but isn't that for all vehicles, not just DPW?
That's Central Auto, and then DPW is 2.5 for equipment.
It's 2.5?
Yeah, so.
But that's, okay.
Three Chevy 3500 pickup trucks, three International single axle snowplows, two Chevy 3500 six-man dump trucks, one International cab chassis tire truck, two case 4-ton rollers, one excavator, one Vermeer VC 1500 chipper.
I'm going to save you. If you could just send us that list, it's fine. I'm not. But it's just more about just conceptually that if we're buying 2.5 million this year, how much should we buy the year before? I mean, at a certain point, I get, and I'm not here to read you the Riot Act. I'm just here just to be curious because my role as a legislator is to go and just understand that we've got 2.5 that we're spending county dollars on. We've got 1.225, you know, so to speak, that we're sort of spending on the other side. At a certain point,
that we're getting back.
No, I'm saying that we're getting back. But that meaning you've got you're buying over here, you're selling over here. I'm saying at a certain point, where are we at? Where is that we're buying year after year? I mean, at a certain point, vehicles theoretically are supposed to last you X amount of time. Now, I get the more you use them, the more you're going to wear and tear them. The more that we're doing more projects, which is a good thing, you know, you're going to burn through their expectancy quicker. But I just want to just again understand and know. Okay, fine. That's what's sort of happening. So if I can kind of get a comparison year after year for at least maybe the past 5 years, so we actually understand how many new things did we buy and how many old things did we sell.
Yeah. So that's actually the automobile use tax. That's what's in that line.
Oh, so that's not the
okay. Oh, so that's automobile use tax.
Yep.
That is not the sale of equipment.
So the equipment is tax item. Central Auto.
How much is that?
$95,000.
No. For next year as an estimate.
Or I'm sorry, that's loss of sales.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say.
It's raspberry.
You had heard one or it'll be cucumber.
Let's not invoke.
How's he doing?
Right, Mark. I'm gonna make it easy on you. How about you guys just get back to me on that, so that way you just know what we're spending on all the new equipment and what equipment's going the way of the dodo. All right, Mr. Chair, if you mind, just one last question, and I will
go ahead.
Be done. So, at a certain point, we've adopted a series of local laws. And at a certain point, we need to kind of start to look at some of the compliance of those things, like the green building standards, you know, policies that we put in place, which I think we voted on those years ago. I have no idea how long it's been since we voted on that, honestly. But it's a thing where, you know, we probably at some point should probably go and look at, you know, where we're at in terms of these policies that have been passed and the compliance.
Yeah.
So just be aware that may be something that we may ask for some assistance with. So,
where are they from?
That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Well,
Herb, do you have anything?
Nope.
Kathy, do you have anything? Kathy?
Yeah, I wanted to circulate some.
This was the main question.
Some candy?
I don't know if you answered.
One has rum in it. Like liquid rum.
Yeah, I asked them.
Okay, Kathy, go ahead. Legislator Nolan.
No, I just. In regard to these policies, we did do a check a few meetings ago at one of our regular meetings, kind of going through and putting them into three different categories. And it seems that the Department of Public Works is regularly incorporating these in the projects, and we ask for some attention to putting those considerations into our bidding process so that we would have that built in as a bid factor, either as an optional or as a required bid factor. So we haven't had bids that have come back to us to where we've checked on that since then, but that is the general plan that we adopted, as I recall it.
Hector?
Thank you. So I just have to ask, and I guess, was Legislator Green including this? Because I got the phone with her before this meeting, and that was part of where she had asked me to go and to look at that. So did she know about this, or?
She also sent an email message requesting that we talk about this.
Yeah, no, I mean, she had told me that part, but then we started talking about the various, like, local laws that, well, yes, there was, I guess, you know, this had been sort of generated, this mm-hmm. you know, this had been compiled, but that she wanted to kind of go so far as to kind of actually develop a template to be able to kind of just show where the compliance is actually happening with each of these laws, and to go and ensure that we actually are hitting all of those. So, meaning for each of these, mm-hmm. each of these, you'd have a separate table in which mm-hmm. it says, you know, this local law does the following. You have to mm-hmm. do X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
And the department did X and Y, but they didn't do Z, or they yes. did Z, but they did Z in a different way, you know, okay. something like
yes,
that.
Yes, I understand what you're saying, and this is something that Legislator Green brought up at the beginning of the year and that we worked on. This document, which shows the adopted local laws, over half of them don't apply to DPW there in other departments. And of the ones that do apply, providing that kind of template basically requires more work than it will generate benefit. We did discuss this as a group, and the sense of the group was that by putting these considerations into the bid project, the bid process, that you actually get a number that goes with them. So you're not talking about, would we like to put in pervious pavement? But what would be the cost and the benefit of putting in pervious pavement on this particular project? So it was a recommendation from me, but in consultation with the departments, that it would be an easier way for them to work. And then, you know, I think what Legislator Green is looking for is something easy to see that we're always in compliance, some kind of checklist. But there's really only three major categories. I mean, you can conserve energy, you can put in renewable energy, or you can build in some kind of resilience feature. And so simply by us carrying those three pretty simple concepts in our head, when we review any project, we can look at it that way, the departments can look at it that way, and we kind of have done the work. So I'm a little surprised to see this same idea coming back without some kind of movement forward in terms of maybe Legislator Green generating a template that works better than what I just described.
I mean, I outside of what she asked me to ask, I can't comment beyond that. Again, having just been given this, I don't know who prepared it or what parts are not relative to this department, or no, I'm saying I don't know.
Like half of them,
but
that's not.
What's that?
There's like half of them that's not. I would read the thing through before you came in.
Did Mana put this together, or
no. Jay?
That's how I was surprised
Jay?
You brought okay. this.
Yeah, Jay put this together at the beginning of the year, and I went over it with Legislator Green and showed her my marked up copy of how many of them did not apply.
Right.
Then we brought it to a meeting where we talked about it. Then we brought it to another meeting and asked the department for their impressions. And now the original concept that she came forward with is coming back to us through you. And I don't hold you responsible for that. But
No,
it's,
I didn't think.
You know,
I asked the questions, so therefore I guess you can. But it's just that, you know, it's just, I'm just letting you know, you know,
yeah.
I'm not going to rebut you because I don't know.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's a matter in which I can understand her concerns, but, you know, and this may be just more a matter of just us sitting down. So I'm just more looped in and understand what's sort of been done. But, yeah.
Well, I have my marked up copy of this in another folder, and I could make copies of it and show you. But a lot of the laws deal, you know, some of them deal with smoking. So it's not DPW related. It is all of the local laws that have been adopted that Jay thought were potentially relevant. And
potentially relevant, or did DPW also was like listed as a secondary committee of sponsorship, maybe?
We'd have to ask her, but you know, the first one, the sale and use of sky lanterns. I'm sorry.
No. He just asked that. He just brought the whole, because you know, the smoking on the grounds, and I'm just like,
right,
okay.
The first one, the sale and use of sky lanterns,
which was why when I saw, I was kind of just like, this is a little bit weird, but you know, I also knew that, you know, we had done the green building standards, because I was probably sponsored it or something, 06. And so, you know, that was something that I did remember, you know, back in the day, or pesticide use, you know, with the ban that, you know, that we have on herbicides and pesticides, which is my local law, but that's not necessarily, you know, that's more of a policy, making sure they're actually just doing it, and they're doing it. So it's not like, that's not really how are you implementing this policy? You're either doing it or you're not doing it. It's sort of like one of those things where it's not like it's, you know, yeah, it's
so
not complex.
The other aspect of this is that following Manager Green bringing this up, if we go to there's a place on the county's website where it lists all of its environmental achievements, and all of those related to the Climate Smart designation, our bronze designation, and all of that, they have multiple layers of things that you do that give you points that qualify for that. It is a template multiplied many times over. And so what I believe is happening is that the Department of the Environment is looking at all of those possibilities and then coming to the various departments with their recommendations of things that might be within our grasp. And now I guess if we're going from silver to gold, we'll be trying to do some more of those. But instead of having it be we could use that as our template, and I can tell you exactly what we've done, because it's all of the things that qualify us for that silver Climate Smart designation.
I mean, and it may also be things that we may want to revisit some of these policies as well. I mean, you know, for example, right now, you know, we set a green building policy back in 06 that it was only going to be for new buildings and not for rehabs. Well, you know, we seem to do at this point almost strictly rehabilitation projects. So, you know, that may be a thing that, you know, we may want to go and toy with that, you know. It's an oldie but a goodie. So, I mean, you know, I just saw that and honestly had a mini trip down memory lane. But anyway, I have no desire for this meeting to go on any longer than it has to. So I asked the question on behalf of Mana, which was basically just trying to find out how we sort of showed compliance. If you've got some of that, great. And if you've got some of that, great. And we can all move on with our lives.
Herb, you have anything?
Nope.
Kathy, you have anything else?
I am satisfied.
Okay, very good. I want to thank you three gentlemen for coming tonight and taking time to answer some of these questions. And if there's no other business,
I make a motion for adjournment.
Motion
second.
Made by Legislator Litz, seconded by Legislator Nolan. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. This meeting is adjourned.
I just.